We have some live performances coming your way this afternoon, but right now we have an interview, and we're talking with one of the cast members of Blue. That would be Gordon Hawkins. Welcome, Gordon.
Welcome, and welcome to be here. Thanks, Brian.
You know, it's interesting to get, we've had so many people, like we've had politicians here, we've had creatives here, we've had people who work behind the scenes, but you're front and center.
I'm definitely not a politician.
Yeah. Well, the day is young. You never know.
No, it's not that young.
So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your personal experience with this opera.
It started back in Glimmerglass, I think, back in, was it 2019? I'm looking off in Kenneth's direction over there because he would know as well. So we premiered the piece there at the Glimmerglass Festival. So I was there. At least at the conception of the production,
right.
Not so much at the conception of the piece. The piece was actually written for a colleague, a friend of mine, and mine, Eric Owens.
Oh, yeah.
And through the workshop process and through the development of the music, it became something that came into my sphere. So Francesca Zambello, who runs the festival, who I've known since years ago when I was an apprentice at Wolf Trap, asked me to look at it, and the rest is history.
Yeah, Francesca Zambello, somebody who also played a part in my early career as an opera singer many, many years ago at Opera Theater St. Louis. So we have a shared history there.
I could tell by the larynx and the vocal production. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're doing this production in Toledo now. Have you spent time in Toledo before?
I've performed here a couple of times. I know I did a Porgy and Bess here. Don't get me on the years. And I think I did a, did I do a Rigoletto here?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
That was a while ago.
See, the pandemic messed up my sense of time and reference. So there's pre and post pandemic. So this all happened another world ago.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody lost a couple of years.
Yeah.
I imagine that the pandemic was difficult for you to deal with as a working artist?
Yeah, for a lot of my colleagues, because we simply didn't know. I think our state of mind was, when we get more information about how to deal with it and the virus and vaccines and everything, we'll bounce back. No one thought that it would take as long as it has.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Right.
We're getting there. I think the main thing is that I think audiences now are starting to come back in their comfort zone about being back into the theaters. And part of that, I think, has to do with their realization that the arts in general impact their life to a greater degree than anyone ever realized.
Yeah,
so we need that, not only the arts and bringing communities back together, but I think we miss the intimacy of being connected to each other.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, as they say.
I hope so.
Yeah. Can you talk about your character in this opera? You play the part of the Reverend, who is a very important character in the plot of the opera.
The way that I see it, we're lucky to have Tazewell, who wrote the libretto for it. But the way that I see it is that there are two entities in this community. So we're setting aside the individuals, the family, and the community. But there are two establishments. Mm. One is organized religion, in this piece represented by the priest and the Catholic Church. The other one that is represented by the father and the job he does in the police force. So you have two organizations. But what we find out in the course of this piece is that it's individuals that make these organizations.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, in the micro of it, these organizations maybe have let these individuals down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in a way that the human beings are coming together, they're interacting, they're getting to relate to each other, but they're bringing their institutions with them. So the Catholic Church has to just, or even organized religion for that matter, has to not only just be the organization of one's faith, but it has to be within the nuts and bolts of the community to serve the individuals and their needs in it. So I think that's where the crossroads of this.
And what you describe is something that exists not only on the stage, but it's in real life. I mean, as an opera singer, I imagine you don't get the opportunity to do that many operas that are really rooted in contemporary issues.
No, which is the most satisfying thing about this. My early career was spent in doing all the bel canto, Verdi and Puccini, and later on Wagner, and so.
Or as doing my friend likes to call it, the dead white man.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, there's that too. But what we're finding out now, long overdue, is that there's some voices and some perspectives that modern times have allowed us to give voice to. Yeah. Long overdue.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? And we see it as relevant today. I'm sure when Verdi was writing back in his day, he was writing... I've read all those letters, or many of those letters that he had with censors and censorship. Isn't it refreshing that who would have thought, with all the things that are going on now, that opera and the arts can lead the way towards rebuking that censorship?
Absolutely. We've talked a lot about the plot and the relevancy of the plot and the libretto, but let's talk a little bit about the music, because it's extremely, you know, I hate to use this word, listenable, but it's accessible, yeah. You know. It's music that easily fits into the operatic canon.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that? I mean, was it easier for you to learn?
No.
Maybe to sing.
It was easier for me to... the way I found myself into it, this would probably be the easiest way to explain it. Janine has a background in composing not only classical music, but musical theater. So
right. She
writes drama, and she writes how things move, the flow of a dramatic impact. Once I got the pace of the text that she was writing musically, then it fit. But it's hard to relate some of her compositions in terms of what I would traditionally call, you know,
opera.
Bel canto.
Yeah.
But what it really is idiomatic in the sense of its text. So I would call it American musical theater.
Yeah.
You can call it opera. I wouldn't call it just straight musical theater, because you'd have to, the vocal demands in this piece are... beyond Hamilton.
Demands opera singers.
You better have the vocal goods for it.
Yeah, wonderful though. Well, I'm going to talk more about the music with Chelsea Tipton. He's going to be our next interview. But Gordon Hawkins, looking forward to seeing you in these performances at Toledo Opera of Blue by Janine Tesori and Tazewell Thompson. Again, thanks so much, Gordon.
Thank you for having me.